Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me today for another podcast. My name is Patty. The shop is Herbs to Your Health, and it is a lovely, thunderstormy Saturday morning in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. Our phone number, should you wish to call, is 724-836-7440. And our website is www.herbstoyourhealth.net. I have some stories today. The first one is from a woman I've known, I'm going to say 15 years, probably at least. She has over the years been very resistant to supplements. However, I have to tell you that when she did take them, she came in and said, I feel great. But then she didn't continue on them, which is something I will never understand. She couldn't even explain it. Anyway, she has many health problems. She has a problem with her parathyroid, and she would like to have it taken out. She's already been to two doctors who say they don't do that type of surgery for people over 60. I said, well, did you say thank you to both of them? And she said, I most certainly did not. I want it out. I'll just keep going to doctors until I can get it out. She's been on heavy dose antibiotics for years and several types of injections, for whatever her chronic issues are. I would say she's a really good example of deficiency and excess. She has a deficiency of nutrition and an excess of toxins in her body. But the antibiotics that she's taking aren't, or has taken many rounds of over the years that I've known her. They're first of all linked to increased risk of kidney stones, and I don't know if you heard about this. It was when in one of the newsletters that I get about how kidney stones in children are on the rise, and they say that it's probably from processed food, which children shouldn't eat, and like teenagers, and oral antibiotics are also associated with inflammatory bowel disease. One prescription was associated with a 27% risk, and this is not just teenagers, this is in children, this is people in general. Two prescriptions increased risk by 55%. 3, 67%, 4, 96, 5 or more antibiotic prescriptions increased risk by 236%. Why do you think that is? Because they kill the good bacteria, and that's what we need. Also, it's the antibiotics that are frequently prescribed for upper respiratory infections and urinary tract infections have been linked to fatal heart conditions like aortic aneurysms. They're not harmless. I remember when the grocery store was giving them away, like, oh, they're so safe, I can give them away. Antibiotics are linked to colorectal cancer. And why are they linked to those? Because they decimate your microbiome, and they fuel chronic disease, well, by decimating your microbiome. So not a good thing to take antibiotics or pharmaceutical drugs in general. Might I recommend garlic? The local farmers market has the most delicious garlic. Of course, I never met a garlic bulb that I didn't like, but it's super delicious right from the farm. Even the CDC says that 30% of all antibiotic prescriptions are unnecessary because they disrupt the friendly flora. So this can make a person prone to fungal infections and weaken the immune system overall. So that's where garlic is a star. It has the advantage of being antifungal and antiviral, in addition to being antibacterial. It's also antiparasitic and helps promote the growth of friendly gut bacteria. And it also feeds friendly bacteria. It has, of course, you know, the unpleasant effect of the odor, this day after odor. I say there is a way around that because, well, first of all, we need that. The best antimicrobial compound in garlic is allicin, which is responsible for the odor. So when you chew it up, you know, those fresh garlic cloves with tomatoes, that's when the allicin is formed, when it's chewed or smashed. That releases the enzyme which converts alanine, a substance with no smell or taste, into allicin, a volatile sulfur compound that kills bacteria and fungus and parasites like ringworm. It also helps the body get rid of many common viral infections. So I just highly recommend garlic if you really don't like it. Some people, you know, gag slightly when I tell them to chew up some garlic. You can take we have garlic tablets that are encased in chlorophyll. That's where I was going with the smell, that you can just drink liquid chlorophyll after you eat garlic and nobody is ever gonna know that you've been eating garlic. Garlic is the number one remedy for earaches, dental abscesses. What else? Oh, garlic is actually an emotional remedy, believe it or not. It's also a great remedy for circulation. The emotional effect of garlic is because it relates to immunity. Immunity has two aspects. The first is the ability to recognize what is self, which is good for the self, and non-self, what does not belong to the self or is not good. The second is the ability to resist, destroy, or expel that which is not self or not good to self. Emotionally, the first aspect of immunity is linked to self-image. Do you have a clear image of who you are and who you are not? I'd say by the time you reach my age, you have a pretty clear impression of that. But if you can't maintain a clear distinction between who you are and who others are or who you are not, it can create dysfunctional codependency. And it can lead to people emotionally leeching off of you, you know, taking energy or you taking energy from them. The second aspect of immunity is linked to self-esteem. So if you see yourself as someone worth standing up for or defending, then that sends a message to the immune system, well, both ways, like that, yes, you need to protect me, or no, you don't need to fight very hard. So garlic helps with all of that. Second story comes from another person who is getting some kind of shots for iron deficiency. So the first person I talked about is getting injections for high cholesterol. Preposterous, in my opinion. I have explained the story of cholesterol to her many, many times, And I guess it falls on deaf ears or is over her head, or she just enjoys going to doctors. I don't know. The shots for iron deficiency. Also a preposterous idea. According to the authors of a recent paper published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, iron deficiency and iron deficiency anemia are common, underappreciated conditions with significant mortality despite the widespread availability of effective treatment. So they're thinking of, I'm sure they're thinking of their treatment. I am pleased to think of the treatments that are, you can find at Herbs to Your Health, probably really any herb store, but not the quality. So you can't walk into any natural health store or herb store, vitamin store, and get the quality that you can get here. So if you don't want to come here, we'll send them to you. Or if you don't want to do either one of those, you can order on the website. Same quality, same discount. You know, if you order from us, we give you a discount. If you order from the website, they give you a discount. So there you have it. I would say a half a cup of liquid chlorophyll a day, methyl B12 complete that goes under your tongue, and you just pour some. Now, it used to have a hole in the, so you take off the lid and used to have a little thing, like dropper thing with a hole, and I would just squirt under my tongue. They did away with that. Now you can just pour it under your tongue, and you don't have to measure anything. When, you know, their recommended, what you're supposed to take is paltry, in my opinion. Another herb combination we have is called IX, and I stands for iron. It is an herbal iron formula. It is highly, highly absorbable. Of course, you could still take your super supplementals and your probiotic 11 and your vitamin C and your B complex. Actually, I'd say all of that would remedy most people's iron deficiency or iron deficiency anemia. A gentleman, he has a birthday coming up and he's going to be 77. So he survived a near fatal auto accident and colon cancer. And now he was older then. He wasn't even a young fellow. Now he has some heart problems and he was wondering what, you know, what I would recommend. So, you know, if you want to live, add life to your years and years to your life, a long, vital, healthy, happy life, I'd first start with food. Kind of can't do that with this gentleman. He eats hot dogs at the, you know, the place where you get gas and then you can go in and get food, and it's just usually lunch meat. He loves to get hot dogs there for lunch every day. Whatever, that is not something that I would recommend if you want to add years to your life and life to your years. So the progressive narrowing and clogging up of the arteries is called atherosclerosis, and it's the driving process behind cardiovascular mortality, the number one cause of death on the planet, last time I checked. They say they're unknown factors because of that. I'm sure people know what the factors are. They just don't want to do anything about it. Or maybe they don't know what the factors are. The number one vitamin on my list, if you don't want to become a statistic from cardiovascular mortality, And I'm not saying this is going to prevent it. I'm going to say it will improve your chances. B vitamins. Yes, something as simple as adding B complex to your daily regimen. We've known about this for a really long time, but even the Journal of the American Medical Association knows that. They've published articles and they found that a simple intervention using just folic acid, B6 and B12 for 1 year result, and you know what, teeny tiny amounts, like so minuscule, but this resulted in significant reductions in arterial thickness. So the B vitamins include more of those. So B complex and then the liquid methyl B12 complete. You know, you're gonna really get all of your B vitamins, and then for good measure, you can add the methyl B complex, which is, folic acid, folate, and B12, I think is what's in that. Garlic, I just talked about it. Garlic can save your life, and it's delicious. Cabbage. So if you go to the farmer's market I go to, they have garlic and cabbage there. And I think it was last year, I was the only person there, and I said to the one person who doesn't really talk much, I said, "You have the most delicious cabbage I have ever tasted in my life." And I said, "Do you like it?" And she said, "I've never eaten it." And I said, "Yeah, but you work here." And she said, "I don't know what to do with it." So many things you can do with cabbage. Pomegranate, it regresses plaque buildup in the arteries. So Tygo and Super Orac. L-arginine is an amino acid capable of preventing arterial thickening. That's in Blood Pressure X. So even if you don't have high blood pressure, you can take Blood Pressure X. Your body knows what to do with it. Or you could take Cardio Assurance. What else is on the list? Oh, curcumin, of course. So, and let's just say, stay away from the statins. So when I first started doing a radio show, that's gotta be 25 years ago or so, a gentleman who still actually orders from us, rarely, but he does order, wrote a letter. He would write letter. He would listen to the radio show and then he would write letters. And he said, I'm very curious to know what you mean by a statin. So on subsequent radio shows, I said, it's just, you know, the name of a class of pharmaceuticals that lower cholesterol. P.S. cholesterol is just high cholesterol. And, you know, people say, oh my gosh, my doctor wants to put me on statin drugs and I'm, because my cholesterol is so high. What is it, 230? I mean, super normal. If you want to do something for inflammation, that's another thing. And then recently someone came in and said, my brother takes an red yeast rice, but nobody gets it right. And CoQ10, because you have to take the CoQ10 with the red yeast rice. Well, you have to take CoQ10 if you take a statin, but I wouldn't take it to begin with. And red yeast rice is just a kind of an allopathic remedy. I say, you know, just think of, if you have high cholesterol, if you know your numbers, I've worked with people with cholesterol of 400 and 500. Just means you have major inflammation. When you reduce the inflammation, the cholesterol becomes normalized. When you get it too low, you are then at risk for other things like cancer. So there is also a link between blood vessel health and cruciferous vegetables. What does cruciferous mean? It means crunchy. So cabbage, broccoli, Brussels sprouts. cruciferous vegetables lower the risk of stroke and heart attack and increase blood vessel health. So that's veins and arteries. We don't, we just want to keep our, what the foods we eat as delicious and healthy as possible, plant-based, as organic as possible. Cauliflower is in that list too. Indoles, which are in broccoli and cauliflower, do so many good things for us. They help the liver as well, help the digestive system. we have another couple of things. One is myrrh. Myrrh is a bit bitter. So if you are a person who uses it for your gums and you dip your tooth, well, first of all, you put a strip of Silver Shield over top of that, you put some Xylabrite toothpaste, and then dip your toothbrush in white oak bark and black walnut, and then put a, I make a little indentation, and then pour a drop of myrrh on that. Kind of the easy way to do it. And that combination helped a woman many, many years ago avoid $25,000 worth of gum surgery. She said it's not even about the money, it's about the pain, sorrow, and suffering. I said, I hear you. Anyway, it's an infection-fighting herb, myrrh. It can be used internally and topically to help the body get rid of infectious organisms. There is a sister product. Well, okay, so they both have the first name of their, is it the genus and the species? Anyway, they both have the same first part of it. They have two different second parts. Google is what I'm talking about, and it's G-U-G-G-U-L, not the search engine. Anyway, Google and myrrh have many similar properties. They aid the cardiovascular system. Google helps lower cholesterol levels because it helps the synthesis, it inhibits the synthesis of cholesterol in the liver. It also has antiplatelet and anticoagulant activity, so it would inhibit the formation of clots in the circulatory system. It helps lower C-reactive protein. So that is an inflammatory molecule, I guess is what it is. So with anti-inflammatory action, Google can use for rheumatoid and osteoarthritis, bronchial asthma. Google is, I would take that, it helps the digestive system. Myrrh essential oil can also be used for respiratory congestion. So just a couple other ideas. So people believe preventing heart disease is possible with very out-of-date information. And it's just like the lies are still perpetuated on TV commercials. It's been proven incorrect, I can't even think of how many times, that cholesterol, high cholesterol does not increase your risk of heart attack. Cholesterol and animal fats are not the cause of heart disease. Cholesterol only sticks to your arteries when it becomes oxidized from free radical damage. And, you know, eating animal fats or grass-fed butter, not going to increase your risk of heart attack. I'm thinking of the person who I met in ninth grade. So when we were in high school, she said, "Well, I'm eating a no fad diet because, you know, if you eat fat, it's just going to stick to your body." Very illogical and incorrect. The truth is that processed vegetable oils are increased risk of hardening of the arteries. A high sugar diet and high levels of insulin are two of the biggest risk factors for heart disease and far more problematic than fats. Heart disease, like most degenerative diseases, is primarily caused by chronic inflammation and free radical damage to the lining of the arteries. There's no magic pill you can take to get rid of all of this, but you can have a several-pronged approach to it. Of course, you want to increase your intake of antioxidant fruits and vegetables. They're brightly colored fresh fruits and vegetables that prevent the process of that stuff sticking to the arteries and causing blockages. Also, we can take MegaKel, CoQ10, drink Tygo, get an oil change. I would say we don't want to, if you eat fast food, and who knows about restaurants, I don't know, but if you eat fast food, you're definitely going to get those processed oils. So we want to add to our supplement regimen super omega or krill oil and definitely extra virgin olive oil. Also, regulate your blood sugar. So SugarRay will help you do that. Improve your blood flow. Magnesium helps muscles relax, reducing blood pressure and stress on the heart. Blood Pressure X, like I just said, manage your anger and stress. So I know a lot of people who aren't super angry, but who are super, super stressed. If you are angry, liver balance helps that. But Distress Remedy, Passion Flower, Anxious List, NutriCalm, Ashwagandha, and you don't just take these when you're stressed, you take them as part of a program. Other supplements to support heart health are hawthorn. Hawthorn is a food-like herb that can be taken daily to help strengthen the heart and reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease. It helps improve blood flow in the extremities, and it's a tonic to heart muscle. Ginkgo is another one, so when you take them both, they counteract the effects of aging on the brain and the heart. So that's nice. Omega-3s, capsicum stimulates blood flow. It's also known as cayenne pepper or red pepper. It helps to normalize circulation throughout the body. And vitamin E and vitamin D3. Okay, I'm going to end with something I came across about worry. Okay, so this gentleman said this. He put his worries in five categories. First of all, worries about disasters, which, as later events proved, never happened. That was about 40% of his anxiety. Second category, worries about decisions I made in the past, decisions about which I could now, of course, do nothing. That was 30% of anxieties. So you see, there's 70% right off the bat. Worries about possible sickness and a possible nervous breakdown, neither of which materialized, about 12% of my worries. Okay. The first person I talked about said, very, very worried. I'm going to die. All of my family died at the age I am now, like I'm going to say early to mid 60s. No matter how many times I've said, genetics is only 8%, it's lifestyle that's 92%. Increase your chances by taking supplements and eating a healthy diet, deaf ears. Anyway, that could take away 12% of your worries. Fourth category, worries about my children and my friends. Worries arising from the fact that I forgot these people have an ordinary amount of common sense for themselves. That's about 10%. And then the fifth category is worries that have a real foundation, probably 8% of the total. So he limits his worry to the fifth group, which will eliminate 92% of it. It leaves him free from worry 92% of the time. So I would say we want to reduce that to zero. Certainly it's possible. I say it's not only possible, it's necessary, because that creates a lot of bad things in the body. And, you know, if you've ever had high anxiety and you're just pacing, you're not getting other things done. So everything else has to be put on hold while you entertain these fear thoughts, which, what is fear? False evidence appearing real. So interrupt the worrisome thought with something pleasant and then turn your thoughts elsewhere. Sounds easy, kind of really is. Or just stop and breathe. That is the, focus on your breathing. Deep, slow, rhythmic breathing really helps. And then if none of those help, anxious listen to stress remedy. Those can really help calm you down. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day in midsummer. Bye.